Well, friends, how did the Apostle Paul perceive himself as an apostle? How do you perceive yourself as a Christian? If you were writing a CV of yourself, what things would you emphasise? We have today what we would call a CV of Paul's description of himself as an apostle. In Colossians chapter 2, we have him describing his feelings and his thoughts about being an apostle and a teacher. And he wanted them to know that there were three particular things that he emphasised about himself that gave him that qualification. And the first one was he was a cheerful sufferer. He was willing to suffer great things, terrible things for Christ. And he was a willing servant, to be a servant for the congregation, for what they needed and asked for. And he had, thirdly, a zeal to present everyone mature in Christ. That's some claim. He wanted to preserve everyone in his congregation mature in Christ. He said this, "For this," meaning the three characteristics, "I toil, struggling with all his energy," his being Jesus Christ's energy, "that he powerfully worked within him." Paul was working hard and struggling hard for these Colossians in prayer. And that means, in other words, he was praying for other people's blessing and glory and salvation. That's what he spent time in prayer for, other people. How wonderful. And he wanted these Colossian believers to be as Christ-like as possible when they stood before God. He felt the same way about these Colossians as he felt about the Corinthians when he wrote to them and he said, "I feel a divine jealousy for you to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." That's in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. What an amazing pastoral concern he had. And especially when we realise that Paul never met any of them personally. You know, when you meet someone personally, you get a picture and he's in your heart very much more. Well, Paul never met these Colossians. And so we are immediately challenged as individual Christians that we must not simply be interested in theology, but we must be interested in people. In people, we must love our neighbour as much as we love ourselves. It's quite a high standard, isn't it? The book of Colossians was not written for pastors only, but it was incorporated in the canon of Scripture because of the lessons it had for every Christian. Christians must be interested in people, and if we're not, we must question ourselves. If we're not interested in the welfare of people, question our faith. Is it really in Jesus Christ that's described in Scripture, or are we just interested in a doctrinal system of theology that seems good? Paul, remember, Jesus Christ said, "You also are to love one another." That's the mark of Christians, to love all other Christians. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Christ said it more than once. John the Apostle wrote it more than once. John 13:34 is that passage. Paul had a big heart. He loved the whole family of God, whether he met them personally or not. Paul did not pick and choose which Christians he would love and serve. He loved and served them all. So must you and I love all believers, not just the ones with the same theology as we have, or the ones that we can identify with. We must love weak Christians, untaught Christians. We must love those who are easily led astray Christians. We must love the ones that are backsliding and do our utmost to prevent their fully falling away from the faith. There are those who drift gradually and slowly away from the means of grace. We must love them and do our best to bring them back. We must try and prevent the complete fall of them. Paul is aware of his ministerial responsibilities and accountability. He knows he had to give an account to God of his ministry. He knew what Hebrews 13 verse 17 meant when it talked of church leaders keeping watch over souls as those who will have to give an account. And we as individual Christians need to remember that each of us will have to give an account too of how we relate to our neighbours, to our friends, to those near us in our daily lives. How do we minister to them, or do we fail to minister to them? In our daily relationships with people, we have to give an account too. Now, it's also noteworthy, isn't it, that Paul included in these prayers and concerns the church of Laodicea. Not a very good church, was it? Certainly wasn't a few years later on when Jesus had to speak to them from heaven. And we are challenged to ask were the Colossians on the slippery slope as well as Laodicea? Well, maybe. But like every other church, the church of Colossae and the church of Laodicea and our churches, the individual ones we belong to, need to be watchful. There is never any room for complacency. We too can drift away with the heresy of the day. For sure, Paul wanted them to know that although he never met them or the Laodiceans, he still cared for them. He was worried about them, and that's wonderful. And it's wonderful when members in a congregation gather together to pray for individuals in another congregation, for their spiritual growth, for their protection from the dangers of the culture in which we live. You see, the Colossians were under pressure to conform to the popular culture and the ecclesiastical influences and direction that they were going at that day. He warned them to beware of subtle human precepts and human teachings, which sounded good on the surface, but deeper down, the teachings were based on error. It's verse 21 of chapter 2. So Paul directed them to the inward and the spiritual aspects of the faith, that their hearts may be encouraged. The state of their heart. Did they have the love of God in their hearts to people, to one another, as well as to Christ? Paul saw their vulnerability and was concerned that no one would delude you. Verse 4. He was concerned they were being deluded. We today have our own woke problems, which are deluding many people, or even changing history completely. So, Paul saw that these Colossians needed to be rooted and built up in Christ. That's in Christ's teaching, Christ's philosophy, Christ's way of life. And they needed to be established in the faith as they were taught, no doubt by Epaphras, who was one of them. And so we as individual Christians must have this same love for people as well as love for Christ. Paul was not on commission for getting more people getting people on seats. That wasn't the important thing. He was not even concerned about being on the frontiers of current evangelical thought. He was concerned for the spiritual growth and welfare of God's people, that they would know the truth about Jesus Christ. And so we're challenged. How concerned are we about people's spiritual knowledge and their welfare? Do we struggle in prayer for our neighbours, never mind for those we have never seen in distant lands? But I'm sure we do pray for our persecuted brethren. Paul could hardly say about himself that he could honestly say about himself that he was a cheerful sufferer, a willing servant, and a man full of zeal for the spiritual growth of his flock. And that's an excellent thing. And we need to be the same. Paul said, as he finished, that all the knowledge of God's mystery is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Jesus Christ has treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's got them all. And they're not just for Jews. They're not just for Greeks. They're not just for Romans. They're for you and I. And we need to search God's word and be in prayer and fellowship with Jesus so that we may be blessed as God's people are. Well, may God bless these thoughts.